How do you learn who you really are? It's not found in books. It's found on the battlefield. Welcome back, warriors, to the Battlefield of the Mind. This is Rick, and I'm here today with Dr. Ben. And it's Galliard, right? Am I saying?
Yes.
I just want to make sure. I'm terrible with my own last name and everyone else's. But Dr. Ben, I've been watching a lot of your stuff, and the thing that I enjoy is that you are not afraid to do what is right in the face of people arguing who is right. And if you don't know who Dr. Ben is, nobody can introduce better than you can. Please let people know who you are, and then let's get into some ass kicking.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in the functional medicine space for 25 years, basically trying to uncover the root cause of why somebody has whatever health issue they have going on. Started way back for me in high school. My mom got diagnosed with MS, collapsed at one of my football games. Nobody knew what was going on. So she went down the whole path of getting diagnosed with MS. And they said, okay, here you go. Here's your drugs. Go on disability. You're probably going to need a wheelchair. And that's your life. Then you're going to die. And I was like, well, that stinks. You know, I used to run with my mom. She was super active. We hiked, we backpacked, all this stuff. And like, I don't think that's the way she wants to go out. And so, fortunately, her and my dad retired. They moved down to this tiny town in the middle of nowhere in Missouri and found a doctor that was doing functional medicine type work even before it was called functional medicine. And he started going through, you know, like we were just talking about, Rick, the why. Why would somebody's body attack its own tissue? Why would you get autoimmune? And so they started working through gut and brain and blood sugar and all these things to the point where she got off all of her drugs. She gave away her wheelchair, gave away her cane. She's from the time of this recording, 4 days from now, she's going to turn 81 years old, and she no longer has MS. Her last MRI had no more plaquing, and she healed from MS. And so that got me thinking, like, holy cow, if you can heal from MS, what else can the body do? And when we're thinking about just overall the thought process of what healing really is, it's not just about taking some magic herb or drug or whatever, but it's about uncovering the reasons why we need that healing in the first place, whether it's in our brain. You know, a lot of people need that support there as well. But then it can come down to each one of the systems that can be thrown out of balance, that can drive that body into this just havoc. And that's what I love getting at. We've been doing this for 25 years. F8WellCenters.com is our website. We love getting to the root cause of where this happens. And I think even since COVID, you know, it's opened a lot of people's eyes that, like, hey, you know, something isn't right. It's not just, oh, take your shot, take your pills, you know, go on a ventilator, you know, but who was getting sick? It was the people with high blood pressure and with diabetes and that were overweight. And, you know, it was all that stuff. And yet, you know, oh no, that's not what it is. It's just anybody. And it's like, no. If you are ill, you are more likely to die from other things or get other things. And it really opened a lot of people's eyes. So yeah, just love what I do as much today as I did 25 years ago. And hopefully 25 years from now, I'm still going to be fighting the good fight.
I found the same answer. So I'm going to try to make it so I don't lean into my expertise as much, because I want to hear yours very much.
Yeah.
And so the mind, the words we use, the beliefs that we have around this, you're doing something that I very much love warriors to do. It's part of our creed for what we do, which the last one is challenge everything, especially your gurus, especially your doctor, especially your psychologist. Challenge the shit out of us for competency, not for credential. Like, do you actually know what you're doing? Not sure. Did you just have a title about it? And that's what I like about you, is you're like, no, please come and see that we do it. And yep. I'm going to find your why, because the why is more important than the symptom. And people want to go, here's a pill for your ill. But you're like, well, why are you ill?
Right.
Like, instead of going, no, let's get rid of the thing that made you feel that way. And I love that you're challenging everything. You challenge the system. You challenge things to go, something isn't right. And that's something that, like, I want to keep the focus on that for a minute, because I don't think people are going to understand without judgment that you're doing something that's necessary, because you're pushing the limits of what's possible. And that's awesome. Like, and so I just want to keep praising you for that for a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
When it comes to some of these things, I want to grab up some of the stuff that's like the stuff that breaks the rules here. And like I said, I've done this with anxiety. We've beaten anxiety, PTSD, depression, sure. Addiction, suicide. Our group is beating these things to where guys no longer need to be on any medication for any of these. And you just said with your mom, you were able to stop MS, or even you mentioned multiple times autoimmune diseases, things that are like, wait a second, your body is capable of way more than people are trying to give you credit for.
Absolutely.
And so before I get into the belief systems around it, can you start to change or challenge some of the things that you know are the problems with today's education or teaching around these topics?
Yeah. So yeah, we're on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, everything. And we get feedback all the time, not just from our patients, but from just the masses. And that's the beautiful part with social media in today's day and age is, we're able to hit so many, many people and hear so many stories. And we hear it over and over that, okay, your ANA was high, which is telling us about autoimmune, but most doctors are like, it's not bad enough yet. You don't have enough symptoms. So wait, let's check it again next year. Let your body destroy more tissue until you have enough symptoms. Then we will give you a drug for that. And to the rational mind, that just does not make sense at all. And you're like, why would I let my body destroy more tissue? If I could have got a hold of my mom 5 years before she got diagnosed with MS, and stopped that process, slowed it down, whatever, and she wouldn't have to go on disability. She wouldn't have had to do all those things. She could have kept teaching and doing the great work that she did. I mean, that would have been amazing. And yet the thought process now, and patients all the time, they go and they ask their doctors, okay, I've got Hashimoto's, I've got Crohn's disease, I've got gastroparesis, and I'm throwing up everything. What can I do? Is there anything that I'm eating? Is there anything that I'm thinking? Anything? And they're like, no, it's just kind of a thing, So just take this pill and good luck. And you're like, come on, dude. There has to be things that are affecting it and causing it. And wouldn't it make sense if something is causing it, that if you reverse that, if you stop that, that it should at least slow it down, if not even stop the whole disease process. So that's my philosophy, is if there are things that are causing, it's just basic physics, cause and effect, it's just silly for them to say, nope, none of that affects anything.
Yeah, it's powerful, man. It's same thing in the psych world, man. They're more worried about, like you said, get more symptoms and then I'll give you some drugs. And you go, wait a second, where did the symptoms come from? You're not wrong. And you said the rational mind. Let's go into like doing some stuff, because you talk about, I wish I could have been more preventative instead of reactive. Let's talk about some of the things that you really believe need to be out there. Like, people need to know shit, and they're not getting enough of it.
Absolutely.
And so in which case, what do I need to start doing? Let's say the cleansing element. People need to clean their body out. Sure. I was just talking with Dr. Lodi. I don't know if you know Dr. Lodi, but he's really big on, you got to clean yourself out. And he goes right after cancer and all the ones that are like, no, your body can cure it. You just have to clean your body out.
Sure.
What is your opinion on cleansing or the healthy sleep or the parts? Guys, start here.
Yeah. So I'm kind of known as the blood sugar doc. And we were the first office in the U.S. to start having every single patient finger prick glucose monitor, whether they were pre-diabetic, diabetic, didn't matter. We were doing it on kids and checking to see what that blood sugar, 6 to 8 times a day. And that was probably 10 years ago. About 4 years ago, we were able to get continuous glucose monitors. We were the first office in the U.S. to use CGMs on every single patient. Every man, woman, and child. And with that, we're able to see 24/7 where the blood sugar is. And it used to just be for type 1 diabetics, insulin dependent. You have your pump and you're going to, get your insulin. But we have found, and I've written books on it, master classes, everything I can do to get this information out there. If we could stabilize everybody's blood sugar 85 to 110 every single day, we could prevent or reverse upwards of 90% of chronic health conditions. That one thing.
we could take 90% of chronic conditions out if we can get the blood sugar between 85 and 110.
I am convinced of that. And how do I know that? Because 25 years of working with patients that have gotten their blood sugar stabilized, that have reversed chronic conditions, that have slowed down their neurodegeneration and their Alzheimer's and their cancers and their not just diabetes states, but autoimmune and all of these different things. It is such a crucial part of it. It's basically the foundation of all of our work with people is to get that blood sugar stabilized first, and then we move on to the next step and the next step and the next step.
I want to do it. How do I get my, where do I start, Doc? You're my expert. Where do I start?
Absolutely. The easy part, it used to be that, one, CGMs used to be like $4,000 a month. Now they're in an accessible range. We used to only be able to get them in 3 months supply. Now we're able to get them one sensor at a time. It's a little patch, goes on the back of the arm, 14 days. It goes Bluetooth straight over to your phone. You get to see exactly what that blood sugar's doing, all day long. It shoots it over every 3 to 5 minutes, and you can go, okay, I just ate this one meal and we don't want it over 110 and I hit 160. Okay, for one, this is what 160 feels like. And I'm like, oh, I'm a little tired. And like, hey, you're always talking about the warrior and the, you know, and that I'm ready to take on the day and all that. If your blood sugar spikes, you're not ready to take on your day. If your blood sugar crashes down, you're not ready to take on the day. You're going hypoglycemic. You're getting tired and spacey and hangry. And get this. So many guys are thinking about their testosterone now. What your doctor is not telling you about your low T is that the vast majority of low T is because of insulin resistance, because of your blood sugar issues, and that's driving the testosterone to convert into estrogen. And so if you're on testosterone pellet cream injection, whatever, they almost always give you an estrogen blocker because they know that testosterone, you're raising your testosterone, but you're going more into estrogen. So then you start getting man boobs and you start, you know, getting, you're like, oh, lazy and sitting on the couch or playing video games. And, you know, here's the crazy part. I see, we run testosterone on every one of our patients. I see teens and 20-something-year-olds having lower testosterone than 40 and 50-year-olds. It's going lower and lower generation by generation. So our kids, we complain as us old guys, right? We're like, oh, the kids these days, you know? And you're like, well, it's not just they don't want to work. But get this, for males right now in the United States, 25% in their 20s, 20 to 30, 25% are not working at all. They haven't worked in 12 months. And we're like, oh, they're just lazy. They just want to play video. Their testosterone's 300, 400, 250. It's dropped. They don't have the motivation. And that comes back to this blood sugar issue, this insulin resistance driving that testosterone into estrogen. Then you're having, you know, these hot flashes. Guys can even have hot flashes. They get man boobs. You know, you walk down the beach nowadays and you see most 20-year-olds with big man boobs. And you're like, holy cow, what is happening to the manhood in this country? And a lot of it can go back to what we're putting in our bodies.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Warrior, thank you so much for being a part of the information that we have. And you're part of our story as we are a part of yours. It's very much an honor to be able to connect with each other. If you want to know more or you want to get started with working with me or working with our warriors so that you can begin your path to authenticity, strength, leadership, and accountability, this is the way. Together, we are way stronger. Now you get to choose. Do you go forward or keep doing what you've always done? If you stay where you're at, hey, click on some of the stuff and follow what it is. We got motivational stuff. We've got podcasts. We've got more things. Just subscribe and do the stuff and we'll keep you updated. But if you want to start going in, start jumping into what our programs offer and start your journey and being the hero in your own story. So the blood sugar thing, like, you're right. I've got, you know, I've got the other side to what's going on with, like, the psych behind, you know, even if we, sure. we can go a lot of different directions with that.
Absolutely.
But there's a lot of things happening, even if there's a lot of studies that you keep going back to people who are pretty much psychics in the science world, like Dr. Calhoun with the Universe 25 experiment with the mice.
Yeah.
Where, like, once we have not enough productive roles and we have too many people.
Sure.
Like, you just start watching the population start to just truly suffer. And so now you're seeing guys, like you said, this 25% of guys who are not working, not interested in dating, not trying to start a family, have no purpose or there's no need to do anything because everything's
Then suicide. And that, you know, it's rampant. 35,000 males a year are committing suicide. And it's not just, you know, PTSD war veterans. It's 20-year-old kids, 25-year-old kids that are lost and hopeless. And so, yes, there is that part of it where, you know, you've got guys or women under 30, if they're going to have a baby in today's day and age, over half of them are single parents, you know, so there's no father figure. So you've got all those things. And yet, you know, what's the solution to these? Well, give them psych meds, or obviously do what you do with people. But that's the solution in the medical model. Give them psych meds. But what is not being addressed is like, hey, are you going and picking up heavy weights at the gym? You know, doing deadlifts. I tell my 20-year-old patients all the time. I'm like, go get 20 bales of hay, put them in your backyard every morning. Go move them back and forth 3 times. You know, from one end of the yard to the other. And we're going to, you know, give you at least some motivation to get up, give you some testosterone to drive you and muscle contraction that's going to keep that blood sugar more stabilized and, you know, just get up and do work.
Like you said, even if like they have a blood sugar spike, like if you're doing hard things, your body will go to work. Now, I think it goes into things that I also will agree, because I can go that direction for like 6 hours. So like, I want to keep it with like the blood sugar element of it. Well, I don't want my blood sugar spiking. Now, what are some things where you're like, guys, if you're putting this shit in your body, of course you're going to have no motivation, no inspiration. You're not going to feel like you have any purpose or drive because you're smoked because you ate candy bars and drank soda. And like,
yeah, so that's the obvious stuff, right?
Right.
You know, don't have hot fudge sundaes. You know, don't eat a bowl of ice cream before bed. I mean, most people know that's not good for you. You know, that's not like, oh, you know, he's just talking crazy stuff. But then we say, oh, well, quinoa, that's like this, you know, it's got protein, it's this better grain. I'm like, almost every single person, quinoa goes up. Brown rice, wild rice, any type of rice, we'll see people 180, 200 on that. A lot of different fruits that we're like, well, fruit's got to be good for you. Well, individual people, it's different. Sweet potato, people say, oh, sweet potato's great. You know, it's better than white potato. I'm like, most patients, when we do white potato versus sweet potato, the sweet potato makes their blood sugar go up higher than white potato. And so, you know, it's not just a cut and dry, you know, eat low glycemic, eat Mediterranean, eat paleo. It is individualized to what you have going on. That's why we do the CGM. And, you know, I think just like anything, when you're talking about the mind, when you're talking about the body, the specifics of what you need, it's individualized, you know, and there's no one size fits all for everything.
I actually really appreciate that too, because like, while the principles may be the same, each person responds differently to them. We have different personality types or different body types or different needs. And so you're not wrong. And it's difficult for people to be like, so what do I do? Well, get somebody who can guide you the right way. Cause how many wrong ways are there to do it?
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, vegan, vegetarian, paleo. You can do, you know, carnivore, where you just eat nothing but meat. And in any of these things, you know, if it's not right for your body, it's not right. I don't care what the research shows. I don't care what your buddy did. You know, oh, I did intermittent fasting and I lost 30 pounds and I feel great. I'm like, well, that might be okay for him. That might not be okay for you. So what does your body need? What are your adrenals doing? Have you been stressed out for all these years? And then if you do more fasting, you know, that may actually put more stress on your adrenals. And that's not great at this point. So, you know, oh, but cold plunges, everybody says cold plunges are good. Well, for some, but not for everybody. And you definitely don't want to do it before bed. And there's, you know, right times and wrong times to do it. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of training that needs to go out there for like both sides of this.
Yeah.
And I think it goes into like you have to rewire the beliefs. I got something. This is one that's come up often when it comes to the sicknesses and the people have. What's your take? Are you being blood sugar doc? What's your take on like everyone's got parasites? That's come up a few times with doctors.
Yeah, here's what we look at. Does everyone have parasites? Probably a lot. I mean, I've eaten some sushi over the years. I probably have parasites. I had a patient. She's up here in Colorado, and she went down to Texas about 6 months ago. I ate at a couple restaurants and came back, and on the way home had to stop like 10 times at the bathroom, and you know, definitely got some bad stuff down there. So parasites are a thing. Can we get people better and, you know, help them reverse their Hashimoto's and MS and rheumatoid arthritis and gut issues and fatigue and weight and all that without specifically addressing parasites? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I think parasites are a thing. And for some people, it is a big part of the thing, but it's not everybody's thing.
Got you. So would this also be included in part of like the clean yourself out? This is kind of sure. Where I was going with it is like, we got to clean ourselves out. So I'm just trying to combine as many of like my holistic doctors as I can.
Absolutely.
Clean you out.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the majority of people, what I do know they have and it is affecting them is their microbiome is out of balance. Microbiome mm-hmm. is that whole universe in our gut. The microbiome, there's more organisms in our gut that are not self than we have cells in our body. So what does that mean? Well, we've got a lot of brain cells. We've got a lot of skin cells. We've got a lot of different cells around the body. And yet there's more non-self bacteria, yeast, parasites, you know, all types of stuff in our gut. It's literally a universe in our gut that is symbiotic with our brain, symbiotic with our immune system, with our fat-soluble vitamins, all types of different things. And yes, that can be affected. And it can be parasites. It can be bad bacteria. If you've been on more than, let's say, 2 or 3 rounds of antibiotics ever in your life, your microbiome will never be the same.
Really? How does that work?
So the antibiotics, when we were kids, it was like, man, throw antibiotics left and right. You know, I was just talking to a lady, she's in her late 50s, and she's like, I remember having this pink bottle in our fridge, and I'd get tonsil issues, and they just keep giving me, you know, bottles full of this antibiotic. You know, now, at least in today's day and age, it's a little more discretion on the antibiotics, but it's still thrown around like crazy. So those don't just kill off bad bacteria. They're knocking down the good bacteria as well in your gut, in your microbiome. And so then it allows the bad stuff to proliferate. So then you get all types of gut disturbance. You get gas, bloating, indigestion, heartburn, reflux, leaky gut, all types of different things. And so when we come in, yes, you need to take probiotics, but every single time we start with kill off first. And maybe, you know, when we start doing kill off, oil of oregano, and there's garlic, and there's wormwood, and a bunch of different things, that can hit some parasites as well. So we don't need to specifically just do parasite cleanses, but we are working on kill off in the microbiome, and that is very important. So
if your microbiome is wrong and the antibiotics are doing stuff, do we have to add probiotics or what do we need to add?
Like, yeah. So if you are on an antibiotic, if you take an antibiotic, absolutely. I always say I would do 3 times. So if you're on a 7-day antibiotic, at least do 21 days of probiotics after that. But most people are going to do better just taking probiotics. The thing I recommend with probiotics is to rotate them. So don't just do the same bottle again and again and again. You want to do different strains, different types. I'm back. So that can definitely you know, replace the good bacteria, but you need to have a good variety in there as well. If somebody has major gut issues, we've got to actually start with kill off first and then come in with probiotics. I look at it like this. So if your bad stuff is up this high and your good stuff is down here, we can take good stuff, but we've got to kill off and knock down bad stuff and then bring in the probiotics, bring in the good bacteria, because it's not going to proliferate like it needs to if that microbiome is filled with bad stuff. So it's definitely important to work on. If you've been on many, many rounds of antibiotics over your lifetime, probiotics is almost like a multivitamin for you. You should probably be taking some on a regular basis. You can do kimchi, you can do sauerkraut, kombucha, different fermented vegetables. Fermented foods can be helpful as well.
Jeez, that's a lot. All right. So we have a lot of things going on. We're like, man, we've been messing this up, doing what they told us to do, right?
Yeah. Well, in the psych world, you know, we talk about it all the time. It's the gut-brain connection. And the more antibiotics somebody's on, the more likely they're going to be to have depression, to have anxiety. It just naturally goes in line. We've got more serotonin receptors in our gut than we have in our brain. So that microbiome has to be working like it was designed to. Unfortunately, if you've been on a lot of antibiotics, it's never going to be there. So you're going to have to support it and work on it and nurture it. Just because that's how you've been. If you were a C-section baby, get this, when that head goes through the birth canal, there is no microbiome when a baby's inside mom. There's no bacteria in the gut at all. So as they go through that birth canal, they're actually bringing in mom's bacteria and different ones that are going to come and start proliferating in their gut. But if you just cut open the belly and pull the baby out, there's no microbiome that starts in there. So then they're just kind of exposed to whatever they're getting. And especially if they're not nursing then directly on there. So if you didn't nurse much, if you were a C-section baby, your gut's messed up as well. And I wouldn't be surprised. I've never seen research on it, but you know, is there more, you know, depression? Is there more PTSD? Is there more ADD on those people? My guess is yes.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a study on that one. I'd love to see it too, because I don't know. I didn't know that for like the microbiomes. That's interesting. Yeah. But you're not wrong with a lot of the things that people are also put on for like the beliefs and the things that they're put into. How much do you have to fight against a diagnosis? And so somebody gave a diagnosis, or somebody mentioned a WebMD somebody, yeah, and they said, you have this, or you have this, or you have this. And then they're like, now you have to almost reprogram their belief around like, no, that's beatable. Like it says here, it's forever. And I am now that,
yeah,
you know, how often do you have to fight that?
It's interesting. I see it both ways. I see, yes, okay, you've got fibromyalgia, you've got, you know, Crohn's, you've got whatever it is. Okay, so now you've got that label. But I've seen it this other way too, where people are fighting and they're like obsessing about what is it? You know, so many people come to us and like, I know I've got something wrong, and I know I've got, you know, some type of autoimmune, my ANA's high, I've got some different things going on. And so then they go and they go to another specialist and another specialist and another specialist, and they're like, okay, well, we don't know what it is yet, and they're obsessing about the wrong thing. So whether you have a label, whether you're trying to find a label, you can't obsess about the what, and that's the what. What is it? You have to obsess about the why. Yeah. Why is my body going haywire? Why do I have low T? Why is my digestion off? Why do I have an autoimmune disease? Why is my thyroid hormone levels out of balance? Why? That's what you need. You know, I always tell people, if you're going to stay up at night and like Googling and searching things, search for the whys. Don't search for the what. And like, you know, what? And here's the other what that I don't like. What do I take for X? You know, what herb do I take for depression? What herb do I take to bring up my testosterone? It's like, no, obsess about the why. why is my testosterone low? Why do I have depression? Why am I sick? Why is my gut like this? Obsess about the why if you're going to obsess.
I agree very much. And the why is being like missed because your body is doing something it's supposed to do. And it's adapting to something you're doing to it, right? Like there's something happening in your body is very, very advanced. And this is something I've also seen like with multiple interviews like this, where like, no, we're noticing if you do a thing, your body's trying to correct it.
Right.
And, you know, you pretty much just ate plastic at this point. So like, we're like, your body's trying to compensate for you just drank this, ate that, did something with this, or you're around this or exposed to this, and your body's trying to figure that out. And your body's doing something, it could be right, whether it be like you said, with the different blood sugar setups, or it could be something with your, you know, ATP or whatever it is. There's stuff happening, and all these different chemicals are happening to try to fix whatever's going on. And you're like, well, why? Instead of like, well, take a drug. Like, no. Why is it doing it? So we can try and stop that. Let's stop the thing.
Yeah, your body's trying to maintain homeostasis, and it'll do that at the risk of affecting and harming other systems. It will try to maintain that homeostasis, but then it's just a matter of, okay, these are our check engine lights. And just like, you know, whether you're on thyroid hormone replacement or testosterone, or you're taking another drug, you're like, you would not take your hot rod car to the mechanic and go, hey, I think I got this oil leak. All right, here's this a quart of oil. I want you to put a new quart in every day and you'll be fine. You're like, well, that doesn't make sense. Why, why is my oil leaking? And that's what we're doing especially as guys, you know, our oil is leaking. I've got four boys from 12 to 19. I've got, you know, 20 team members around the world. We've got a lot of things going on day in and day out. And so, you know, it's easy for us to get depleted, to get run down. And that's where, you know, day in and day out doing the work, day in and day out, you know, having that rhythm. I'm sure you guys have heard you talk about, you know, your rhythms and your routines and staying consistent and all of that. You know, it makes such a difference, whether that's, you know, for our mental state. You know, I always say we create our day, or our day creates us. And, you know, so you gotta get that rhythm going. And same thing with our food, same thing with our exercise, with our, you know, prayer, or reading, or journaling, whatever you're doing, you gotta be consistent.
Well, that goes especially for our men to have purpose and leadership. They have to be deliberate with their routines. It's good advice, and you're not wrong. There's a lot of curses getting thrown around there, especially in both of our fields.
Yeah.
If there are some of the things, and I call curses the belief systems that get thrown around, and like I said, I just talked to a doctor recently, and he calls them spells, the words that people use to go, you are now Hashimoto's disease.
Yeah.
You are now MS.
Yeah.
You are now. And like, you have been, because of my robe, of my white jacket robe, and all of my paperwork that suggests my spells are potent, you know, and he says like, that's the spells I get put. They're curses is what I say people are put under. You are a piece of shit, or you are a useless human, or you don't deserve love, or you aren't worthy of whatever. Like, these are spells that I call curses that are put on people. And that's where I got my code name, Curse Breakers. Like, let's break that. Why is that there? Whose is that? Is that yours? Is it authentic? There's curses in your industry. People are putting people into a mindset that to believe that there is no cure and there is no options. And I am now this, and my identity is routed in the loss of myself, because I am now MS. I am now this autoimmune disease. I am now. What curses would you, if I could just break this belief around these curses and just get my message to the world, what curses are you like, this is the top of my list?
Yeah, I love it. I've done some of my biggest videos of like, you know, hate and like kicking back is like, fibromyalgia is not a real disease. IBS is not a real disease. You know, these are states that your body's in. Yes, you have pain and you have inflammation and you don't feel good. But is that fibromyalgia? Well, no, fibromyalgia is not a thing. You can't do like a blood test for it and be like, oh, you got fibromyalgia. No, it's you got enough symptoms and now we give that to you. So, my thought process on this is, you know, if everybody would truly understand that the end stage disease diagnosis, whatever that is not the thing. You know, that's not the what do we need to treat? We need to treat that with gabapentin, with this Neurontin, with, you know, whatever it is. No, we need to take a step back. You are your body. You are your systems. You are what your adrenals are doing and your blood sugar and your liver detoxification pathways. And do you have leaky gut? And is your microbiome okay? Where your vitamin D level is at? That is where you are. That's what's creating this outside picture of you. And so whatever somebody wants to label you as, wants to put that spell on you, whatever it is, you know, it's ultimately no, that end stage doesn't matter. That label doesn't matter. I always say some people are like, oh my gosh, I know I've got autoimmune, but I don't know what it is. I'm like, I don't care what autoimmune condition you have. I'm not that much of a jerk. Of course I care, you know, and I don't care that you have an autoimmune disease. I care what your adrenals are doing. Where's your cortisol level? You know, is it too high? Is it too low? Is your vitamin D at 12 when we want it at 60? You know, what are these underlying systems, these imbalances? That is really who you are down there health-wise. That's where it's all coming from. And so I don't care what that label is. You know, it's not my job to diagnose. It's not my job to fix, to heal. I can't heal anything. Your body has that healing potential inside of you. You know, it's this God-given ability to the body to heal. Me and my boys, we hunt deer and elk and all kinds of stuff out here in Colorado. And anytime you ever gutted an elk? Yeah, no. It's amazing. No,
I've never gutted an elk before. No.
Remember in Empire Strikes Back, Luke Skywalker guts that what was the animal?
I know you're talking big hairy monster.
He had to crawl in and stay warm in there. It's like that. Like you could crawl inside of an elk. I mean, it's a big experience. But as we do that, I sit there and I think, okay, that animal, you know, beautiful, majestic, you know, the picture of the Rockies, all that, you know, they're not dealing with depression and having to be like, you know what, guys, I just can't get up and go today. Yeah, you know, they're not dealing with PMS and like, oh, my cramps, you know, you go ahead, I'll catch up later. They're not dealing with diabetes, with any autoimmune, with glaucoma, with all of these things. They're out there eating, running around, living the life that they're supposed to. But then you take a dog. And you put a dog into our house and the stress and the food and the chemicals and everything else we're having. And what is that dog experiencing now? That dog's experiencing, you know, hip replacements and it's getting thyroid issues and all these different things. And you're like, man, that is weird. That is not how God intended our, our animals and human species and everything to function. And so, you know, if we do enough of the right stuff and do less of the bad stuff, the body can do amazing things.
Mm-hmm. I've actually seen like the dogs things where people will get the emotional support dog. I saw a lady once with two dogs.
Yeah.
And so she had like her one dog was this little dog that was an emotional support dog. And then they had the other dog that was the other dog's emotional support dog.
now you're getting complicated.
You're like, so that's the support dog for the support dog. So that dog can support you. What are we doing? Like, this is getting silly at this point. Yeah. Like, it's parts where people take advantage of these systems. You're not wrong, though. And, like, when you beat through some of the things like depression and anxiety, I love the way that you said it. And like you said, some of the things you're like, I don't care. Well, like, it's not what you mean. It means it doesn't matter. That's not what the problem is. And so if you want to go down and we try and feed that it matters, you're wrong. That thing is not the way you get out of it. That's the way you get further into it. And right. So you're like, stop. It's not that I don't care about you. I just don't care about going the direction that makes you sicker. Yep. And that's where people have the beliefs. When you say fibromyalgia, you're like, it's not real. You're like, it's not a real thing. That doesn't exist. It's your body is doing something that you can counteract, you know? Yep. And I say the same thing too with anxiety. It's not real.
Yeah.
Like, oh, anxiety is fucking real. And I'm like, I'll show you how you beat it. And then once you understand how the core of it works, you realize that you have a superpower you never trained. You didn't practice. But these elk aren't out here going, what about this? And what about that? What about this? What about this? What about that? What about this? They're not in the what ifs and the make believe possible futures that never ever happen. They're in the present going like, hey, is there anything trying to eat you right now? They're like, not the moment. You're like, you want to hook up? Like, you hungry? Like, they're going to be in the present of what it is without having all of the negative self-talk or the panic about the possible futures or not being able to process a that one time wolves chased us and I just can't get over it.
Yeah,
I can't let it go.
I mean, think about that PTSD. You know, yes, they do. I think they do remember if they hear a gunshot. You know, start hearing gunshots around, they do start getting a little skittish. But 3 months from now, they're not going to be sitting there going, "Oh my gosh, what if I hear a gunshot?" You know, oh, holy cow, yeah. And so, and that's not to put down PTSD and to put down those patterns and things, because we do have our amygdala. We do have certain things that are going to, you know, predispose us to holding on to those. But again, in the traditional medical model, that's not given a way to heal. That's not, you know, it's like, hey, take this drug, you know, and you're like, holy cow, there's no amount of drugs that you can take that's going to heal your PTSD. Guaranteed. No one has ever been healed from PTSD from getting the right dosage of whatever psych med.
You're correct. I have a lot of veterans. In fact, I have a group in just a second. After our call, I'm on a group with a guy who runs a huge veteran organization. And even some of the people I work with, a lot of my vets for PTSD, I work more in the cognitive behavioral side, but I also team up with a lot of neuro-linguistic programming guys. Awesome. And we've been able to beat for first responders and veterans through extreme situations, their PTSD. He's able to work through the neuro-linguistics within like 1 day to 2 days. They can reprogram the triggers. And then my work makes it so it stays gone. Yep. Like, they can keep practicing the cognitive elements of like, I have control of this element of myself, and it's working. And this is making it so our guys no longer have to do, which, you know, I'm not trying to put the fight against the VA at the moment, but there are a lot of organizations that are going, stop giving them drugs. And we need to give them what they need, which is to get rid of these pieces. They need help. They need the attention. They need training to not only reacclimate into society, which is difficult, but be able to say that's not, they don't call it a post-traumatic stress disorder. They just call it PTS because it's not a disorder. We can beat it.
Right.
And it's the same thing as what you're saying. It's like, is it more difficult for the guys who've been extremes? Of course, it's not the downplay, but we see people who like got a bad grade and call themselves having PTSD. Sure. And we're like, yeah, I can't put you in this.
It's getting to be over the top that, you know, every little thing can be traumatic. And you're like, well, you know, at some point it's life and we've all got life. But I love NLP. My wife, been trained in that for a lot of years. One of the first times she ever worked on me, I just got out of school and I was starting to do some workshops and some different things. And, I was like, you know, I'd get up there and I'd stutter and I'd be I could not get up in front of people and talk and everything. And she did a quick anchoring on me. And, you know, the rest is history now. It's kind of what I do, every day.
It's what you do.
Yeah.
Well, even with the fears, because fear is one of my favorite ones to fight. Fear, doubts, they're very beatable. And a lot of times when people understand how to take all these books of about these things, and I can take it into one sentence and go use the sentence right there.
Yeah.
And then the thing that had you paralyzed is almost silly.
Yep.
You know, the thing that made it so you gave up on your dream is like, well, that doesn't even make sense now if you say it like that, you know, and those are the same things too. Like, you are your diagnosis. Well, maybe let's check this and this. And you're like, I don't think that's there. And you're like, yeah, I guess it's not. And you can challenge the system itself to go, does it really add up? And that's why I say I see what you're doing. And I think most people would start off with doing judgment instead of asking questions. oh, he's just trying to do this, or he's a kook, or he's a crazy person, or whatever. What's this and what's that? He doesn't know what he's doing. It's like, well, challenge to see first. Just check it. Check and see what he's doing. Is it working or not working? Because the reason our stuff is successful is because it's successful. And the same thing with you is the reason your stuff is successful is because, well, it worked. Look at my mom.
And if it didn't, if we weren't getting the results at this point, I would be finding something else. I would keep digging. I would keep going. There, you know, it's not like, oh, wow, I found the first thing that I landed on and we just, you know, it doesn't really work, but we're doing it. I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, that'd be, yeah. I always say, an endocrinologist is probably about the worst job in the world because they get all these, overweight, unhappy, tired women that are on thyroid hormone replacement. They go in there and they're like, okay, fix me. You know, you're the thyroid expert. And they go, oh, we're going to raise your hormone. We're going to lower your hormone, raise your hormone, lower your hormone. And that poor lady, that patient, she's like, I feel like crap. Yeah. And you just raised my hormone a little bit and I feel no better. Or I feel worse even. And like, you're supposed to be this guru, and that's all you did for me. And so, like, they must be one of the most hated professions out there. And so I'm like, every patient I talk to, they're like, yeah, I've been to four endocrinologists, and they all, but that's the thing. They're hormone doctors. It's their job to raise your hormone or lower their hormone. It's not to figure out why you have an autoimmune disease, which is Hashimoto's. It's not to figure out why you're under converting your T4 to your T3 and 60% in the liver, 20% in the gut. It's not to figure out why your pituitary is not stimulating as well as it should, and that's secondary to your adrenals, and secondary, and then tertiary to your chronic fight or flight state, and your high alpha, and your amygdala, and all these things that are just going. And oh, yeah, well, you know what? Let's give you a Xanax, and that'll calm you down.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And then take on top of everything you just said, that's like, look at all these things that are sitting right in front of you. Take into account too how often you'll have people change a behavior or change lifestyle until they feel better. You're like, okay, cool. I took out the sugar and I fixed this thing. And I eat these kinds of foods and now I'm cured. It's gone. I feel better than ever. And this is where I have to do the deep work. Then they go to what I call the default program, like the programming that was there before. And so now that you're cured, you're like, finally, now I don't have that symptom anymore. I'm feeling great. Now I can go back to doing what I used to do that created the symptoms in the first place. And then you're going, okay, now I can reward myself by eating a chocolate cake or having a whole bunch of ice cream before bed now because I was doing good now.
Yep.
And you're like,
wait. We always say, if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. And that's what it comes down to. And so, you know, the good part with the physical side is that for most people, as they start feeling better and they lose weight and their gut's better and their brain's better and their brain fog and they're thinking clearer and their energy's better, that if they eat something, if they do something, if they fall back, you know, it usually hits them, bam, right in the nose, like a ton of bricks. And they're like, okay, that is not what I want to do. And the nice part too, is once you start breaking that cycle, you know, the cravings for sweets starts going away. The reasons, you know, you think about alcohol, you know, I guarantee you very few people are drinking 6 beers a night because they just love beer. Right.
Well, they try to convince you that's the answer, but they do.
Nobody likes beer after like 2 beers. Right. It's like after a while, it's just like
box of chocolate every time because I love it. You're like, after the first few, that dopamine stops hitting.
It's like coffee, you know, coffee. Yeah. Ooh, that first, and then, but after a while, it's like, that just does not taste good anymore. But they're trying to change their state. Yeah. And so, you know, are you trying to calm down? Are you trying to you know, shut off the voices? Are you trying to sleep better? Whatever it is. And so, you know, again, taking a step back from going, oh, you're an alcoholic, to, you know, what is the reason why you are trying to change your state? And that's almost everything, even with food. You know, we try to change our state. We celebrate with food. We're depressed and have bad, you know, somebody dies or whatever, and we eat, you know,
all grief associated. Most of the things you're talking about are when people are stuck in the denial phase.
Yeah.
And so you got denial, bargaining, anger, and depression or sadness, and they don't know how to work through the acceptance of what is. So they are in the war with what is. Something feels so bad, I don't want to deal with it. And so they'll protect themselves by pretty much shutting down or suppressing the entire situation. I don't want to deal with that loss. I don't want to deal with the thing that makes me feel bad. I don't want to feel hurt. I don't want to acknowledge it at all, actually. And that's where the protection system would come up, that everything's fine, I'm good, suppress it down, hide it, don't talk about it. But then it leaves you feeling not good underneath, and you need to get away from that. And that's where the distractions can come in. And that comes in through your pleasure system. Absolutely. And that's what makes it so difficult, is drinking or, you know, emotional eating or prescription drugs or pornography or online shopping or
marijuana
or you name it, anything to get you away from feeling the thing I don't want to talk about. And so denial looks like protection, and that makes it difficult to catch. And then distractions comes in through pleasure. So it's just a backstage pass. It's going to come in, and that's what I like. It's just when you have an excess because you're trying to escape, it's going to be the recipe for addiction. And that leads people down that downward spiral where they stay stuck in their grieving cycle and bounce usually between anger and sadness and or trying to bargain their way through. But they just were stuck in denial the whole time. And so for anybody who has an addiction, whenever we've beaten it, it was because there's some core pain inside of a grief. They're denying, and they're in the war with what is. And once we win that battle, the need to distract from a pain that doesn't exist goes away.
Yep.
And so,
absolutely. Yeah. My, one of my cousins, he's a, Gulf War vet, PTSD, head injury, all that fun stuff. And, you know, it's been his story has been, okay, he, you know, used to smoke, used to chew, used to smoke weed. He's been, alcohol free for about 10 months now. Then we've started working on budgeting with him and looking at, and like, holy cow, you just spent $35 on McDonald's DoorDash, you know, for a Big Mac meal. And then you're like, oh, that's 7-Eleven. You spent $15 at 7-Eleven in the middle of the night. Yeah, I mean, you know, my mind gets going, and those little apple pie fritter things just sound so good at that time. And you're like, okay, you're on a budget, dude. We can't just go. But it's not that he wants that. But it's that, you know, again, like you're saying, it's that dealing and coping and all the other things hitting them.
And the beliefs, the systems that we have that of belief around it. I had one of my warriors yesterday. He's working. He's like, I've been trying to quit smoking. And I'm like, let's go ahead and go into some of the beliefs around this. Let's get in there. So besides like atomic habits and all the different ways that it's been beaten hardcore, like no problem. This is what it is. People don't understand where these beliefs are coming from. And like, you have to deal with people who the beliefs are coming from a source, but they never challenge the source. And so when it comes to quitting smoking, you know, you ask people like, is it hard to quit smoking? And they're like, damn, it's fucking damn near impossible to quit smoking. And I'm like, awesome. Where did that come from? And they don't know. Like, I don't know. I just always heard that it was hard to quit smoking. I'm like, if you understand where it came from, that belief system came from cigarette companies to tell people it's impossible to quit smoking once you're addicted to it. And so you have a belief system now that quitting this is very hard. Do you know anybody who's ever cold turkeyed it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, well, it's not impossible. They just chose, I'm not doing that shit anymore. And then they stop doing it, and then they don't do it. It's not impossible unless you believe it's impossible. But if I'm Rick the Smoker, quitting smoking is impossible because it's my name. It's Rick the Smoker. I can't be Rick the Smoker who doesn't smoke. That's not who I am. It's not my identity. But then I started going through his budget, just like your apple fritters and your late night snacking. And I'm like, buddy, how much are you spending on this? And he's like, well, about $600 a month goes towards cigarettes. Wow. But I'm like, didn't you just have an argument with your girl about $300? Like, she needed some money, and you're like, I don't have the money. I'm like, if you just quit smoking for 2 weeks, that wouldn't even have been an argument. I'm like, so if I give you a $7,200 a year raise, what would you do with that money? Would you be a lot less stressed? Because you keep calling smoking stress relief, but it looks like it's causing more stress and you're literally burning your money at this point.
And killing yourself.
And making yourself sick. I'm like, it's sick both physically and mentally. And, you know, in every single like emotional way is now a higher stress level. And so you're poisoning yourself and you're poisoning yourself like here and here. And you're wondering why are things a struggle right now? I'm like, well, you're one choice away. And even more funny for any of my smokers out there, I did this step by step. I'm like, well, let's see if it's one choice away. How many steps does it take for you to go and get that food or go and get that stuff or get the cigarettes or whatever? I'm like, let's go through. And I went through like, put your shoes on, get your keys, open the door, go to the car, open the car door, put the keys in the, I started going through every step and there's about 50 steps to get cigarettes. And I'm like, if any one of these steps gets goofed up, you don't get cigarettes, which means if you can catch it before any one of these 50 steps are complete, you can then prevent it.
Don't put those shoes on. You're not going
right.
They won't let you in.
If you didn't open the car door, or if you didn't take that right turn in the parking lot, or if you didn't park there and just drove through, or if you didn't go into the store, or if you just said, you know what, I'm leaving and didn't pay for it and just left. If like you just don't do it. If you don't open the pack, if you don't pack it and then put it in your mouth, if you don't light it, like any of these steps, if you just don't do it, like not can't do it, don't do it.
That's why anytime I've helped people quit smoking over the years, one of the last stages is to switch over to having them roll their own cigarette, and not ahead of time. You can't like do it and then pack them up in your pack, but you got to sit there and that's just a bunch more steps. and halfway through it, they're like, this is stupid. I'm done.
It becomes less worth it, especially if you're out at a restaurant or something and you're like, I don't have time for this. It becomes really complicated. It's true. And this is where like I'm with you on like, if we can get people to recognize some of the behaviors and the beliefs around what it is they're doing, you can also find that there are ways to defeat it that doesn't require you taking more medication to get sicker, because we're dealing with symptoms we can deal with core. And ask why, and then see, because it's not going to be necessarily a high SEO that's going to tell you where the best place to go. You're going to have to listen to things like this and then challenge your doctors and challenge your gurus and challenge your experts. Challenge them like, well, how do you do it? And does it work? And how has it been going? And what's the percentage of successes without bullshit? And there's a lot of people out there who are like, well, listen, just I'm a doctor. You fine. Do it your own way. And when you see your guru, and this is something I want you to all listen to, when you see your expert, your doctor, your guru, if you see them get defensive, this is a red flag. Well, fine. Do it your own self then. What do you mean? I'm just a doctor. Do it your own self. You're like, you got triggered, doc.
Yep.
You got triggered. Why did you get triggered? If you're really good at this, why did you get triggered? I shouldn't be questioned. You shouldn't ask me, you know, why do I fucking know? Fuck you. You know, and you're like, okay, all right.
Yeah. That flag goes off. I hear it from patients all the time. You know, they go in and they start asking that why. And they're like, oh, no, that's ridiculous. Not, you know, what you're eating doesn't matter. Or, you're working with this functional medicine doctor. Oh, I can do the same thing. You know, that's not going to work. You know, you're just wasting your money. And I'm like, in the first 30 days, you're down 15 pounds. Your digestion's better. You're sleeping through the night and your energy's up considerably. Really? And we're not going to see results. And it's just, I mean, anybody that gets to that point and they're like, holy cow, this person that's supposed to have my best interest at heart, and they don't want to look at me as a whole, you know, that there's something wrong there.
Yeah. And it gets Socratic too. If you start seeing somebody being judgmental, shame, blame, guilt, any of those things on people, these are the things where like, oh, you're doing that. Of course. Well, you know what? You're the problem, of course. You're like, well, hold on, doc. I'm asking to understand. It's actually ironic how much the last couple of weeks Socrates has come up, because that was like his whole thing, is asking to truly understand. And when he was like revered as the, from the Oracle of Delphi, as the wisest man in the world, he was like no, the fuck I'm not. I don't know shit. The more I've learned, the more I know I don't know. So there's no way I'm the wisest man in the world. But being able to be inquisitive, which is the Socratic method, I'm going to be inquisitive right. and ask as though I know nothing. Well, that system itself was, ironically, the way he became more wise is, I want to know, can you please tell me? But also the reason he was killed, because he went to the wrong people, and the answer is, I don't know. And then he's like, you showed me, I don't know, you've exposed me, fuck you, dude. And that's where, you know, the wrong judgment attacked him for just going like, I just want to know. And like, I don't know, you made me look like an idiot in front of everybody, kill this guy for making everybody know I don't know. No. So we're watching doctors do this now, where like,
yeah,
they're like, well, why are they doing that? Like, I don't, you know what? You're an idiot for asking. Go, you know what? If you don't want my help, then don't.
Yeah. Fire. I mean, they'll fire those patients. You know, they're like, you know, oh, you're not going to take the drug I prescribe you. Mm-hmm. Don't come back here.
Yeah.
And you're there, like, you go. Wow. You know, that is, yeah, it's so narrow minded, and just this is the only, I mean, they call it practice for a reason. You could go to 10 different docs, whether that's in the psych world or in the medical space, and you're going to get different opinions, different drugs, different diagnosis, you know, from mm-hmm. each and every one of them. I mean, very rarely will somebody be like, yep, I went to four different doctors and they all said the exact same thing.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah. That's wild. I mean, how many times as a patient, you know, you've seen somebody and they were like, oh yeah, you know, this doctor said I was bipolar. This one said I was borderline. This one said I da 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 da. And you're like, are you guys just, you know, rolling the dice and what, seeing what shows up here? Come on.
Bipolar is one of the ones that, like, the diagnosis is like this big of a range.
Yeah.
It's like anything from angry to sad. All right, you're bipolar. And I'm like, well, anger and sadness are both on the grieving phase. And so how are they trying to grieve? It's like, well, they just do is what it is and then suppress all the feelings down. And then every 6 months they explode either into severe depression or a rage monster. And you're like, do you think maybe we're just missing pieces of the grieving system?
Yeah.
Like, we're going into denial as acceptance and then saying is what it is instead of working through it for acceptance so they don't blow up. Is it possible? Because I've had a lot of people with BPD, like bipolar disorder, and like, when I teach them how to do appropriate grieving, they no longer have those symptoms because they have healthy outlets and know how to work through things. Yeah. And then, like you said, just clean your body out, clean it out, like, take care of it. Like, don't store up all the toxins, clean that shit out. And then you'll notice that when your blood pressure is between 85 and 110, that you're going to be like, I feel fucking better. It's like,
well, and here's the part too, is that, you know, I used to go to CrossFit gyms, and, you know, the big thing there is like, oh, the whole 30, right? You know, so people would eat like crap for 6 months, and then the gym would go, hey guys, we're going to do our whole 30 coming up here, 30 days of like kind of a paleo type diet. And they're like, why haven't you just been eating well and doing all the right things for the last 6 months? And then you wouldn't need like this huge clean out and like, oh my gosh, we got to, you know, fix all this stuff. You know, just like on the psych side, if somebody was dealing with their emotions, dealing with their grieving, you know, communicating effectively with people, expressing hurts, whatever it was, and then it wouldn't get to the point where we're like, meltdown. You're like, no, if we were doing what we need to do every single day, we wouldn't get to. And yes, you need a little support here and there, but if you do the good things over and over and over, it's way harder for bad stuff to build up, and you're able to deal with it a little bit here, a little bit there.
Well, that mentality of how much I can do in a short period of time and expect big results versus what, like, small things over a long period of time give like really big results. And like, you're like, well, why are we doing a 30 day thing? Why don't we just do this like this year? That's what we're doing.
a lifetime thing. You know, how long you been working out, Rick?
Me, I've been working out since like the 10th grade. So I got like 30 years.
Yeah, it's not like in the last, you know, six months, you know, I started days. Working out. And I mean, it's a thing, you know, and so, you know, it's the exercise thing. How long you've been getting up in the morning and journaling and writing your goals and doing, you know, doing those things. Well, I got binders like, you know, on my bookshelf, yeah, like this long.
I got a stack right here of like probably like 60 filled notebooks.
Yeah. of stuff that, you know, and for me, here's your tip for everybody. I used to sit down in the morning and I'd be journaling, writing, praying, reading everything. And I'm like, I tell patients every day, you know, sitting is the new smoking. And, you know, you got to be moving. So I went out, we've got a little gym in our shop. And so I got a treadmill out there and I'm like, well, I'm getting on that. And so now I'm like 40 minutes on there and I do all, and that, you know, writing and all that. I'm like, well, I don't need to go back and reread this stuff anyway. So it doesn't matter.
I can only imagine your treadmill handwriting. It's gotta be rough.
Yeah. So, you know, my wife looks at it like, are you trying to make this messy so I can't read it?
you're writing like this.
Yeah. But I mean, the whole point is just getting it out there and communicating and so, yeah, I get out and I get on movement and I get extra 40 minutes of walking a day in. And it's that same thought process of you gotta make it consistent. You gotta make these things habits, and just, you know, day in and day out. And when you learn something new and when you improve, then you add that in and you pull out something else, and, you know, always be looking for that next level of improvement. And it's like, okay. Yeah. I always tell people, you know, we think about, environmental toxins and, you know, just all this stuff really can drive, you know, the chemicals, smells, foods, all these things. And it's like, hey, you don't have to just gut everything and start from scratch. But it's like, hey, when your toothpaste runs out, can you get a better kind of toothpaste? You know, when you get your next dozen eggs, you know, can you get a better quality egg? And, you know, look at, do this for all you guys eating eggs out there. Take your old egg and then get a new dozen eggs and get one of the better, you know, free range, you know, some type of egg and crack them next to each other and look at the difference. If that yolk is pale and almost like, you know, barely even yellow, there are hardly any nutrients in there. If you're seeing, I'm kind of an egg snob, so I've gone through our local health food store and I've tried every single egg. And I get the one, I mean, it's like almost bright red and orange. I mean, it is so vibrant in there. And, yeah, so just little things like that can make a difference. And all of a sudden you look back and you're like, hey, I changed 20 things this year. I improved my health by changing these 20 things and bringing more of this in and less of that, and, you know, making better decisions. If I'm going to cheat, if I'm going to have a dessert, I'm going to have one that's less bad for my blood sugar. If I'm going to, you know, take something, it's going to be this better source of it, whatever it is, and just keep improving step by step.
Yeah, I think it's a little by little, like, and just that's what you do. Yeah, same thing. My workouts, like you said, 40 minutes. I work out 20 to 30 a day. I just do it every day, and so it just stacks up.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. And like I'm more at just a chill workout right now. I just need the blood going and feel okay. Yeah. I'm pretty soon I'll be going back into like hit hard again because I got a next goal I'm going to start working into, and that's just a little thing. It's like, all right, so set your thing, but just make that part of your routines. But absolutely. You also have mentioned like even the way that you've done this mind, heart, body, and soul, all sides of it. So you talk like prayer, meditation, writing, workout, like you got to go into each thing where like, you know, get an emotional release, get a spiritual release, get a connection, and then get into the physical release and then the mental release. And when I'm training people to do all four sides, the stress levels, the sicknesses, the ailments, they go down substantially because like now I have outlets that work appropriately. And so then it makes it so when they come to you, they're not also super high anxiety and super high stress because these are also beatable. And so being able to like just combine forces where you're like, well, fix your blood sugar, get your life together with your body, and then also apply the health to your mind. Now you're finding yourself just like the elk.
Yep.
You're not stressed anymore, and let's go make some babies.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what it's crazy the number of this younger generation, you know, 20, 25, 30, that don't even want to reproduce, you know, that they're so stressed out. They've been, you know, beat over the head that if you have babies, you're causing destruction of the planet. And
it's and, 25 stuff. You've seen Universe 25, right? Yes. Like that's what's happening right now. And it's actually, we're at that pivoting point where Calhoun called this back in the 70s, talked about as soon as we start hitting between like 7 to 9 billion people on the planet, that's about that breaking point where you start seeing it go the other direction. But the way we do that turn, the other direction turn, is going to be impactful for humanity. And we may already be going to that too far point where, like, you see the narcissistic behaviors, especially if you look at John Haidt's work, it's more in women, Sadia Khan. You see other psychologists who are like, look at the behavior that's going in and who's the most susceptible. In the mice, it was the males that became the most susceptible to being the beautiful ones. Yeah. But in our society, it's the females that are the most susceptible to being the beautiful ones, which I do no work. I want nothing to do with it. They're glorifying not being mothers. And we are actually in the first time in humanity, in human history, where we have more women over 30 without children than women under 30 with children. It's the first time it's ever happened in humanity, and it's glorified. You know,
yeah. So. Well, South Korea, you know, they've spent billions of dollars trying to marketing to their citizens to reproduce. Yeah, it's that, you know, it's just, it's crazy. You know, you look at China, you look at Europe, all these places, they've already peaked, and it's going down. You know, Elon Musk was over in Italy or Spain. He was just there a few months ago, like, telling everybody go have babies. Cause you know, it's this tipping point, and people, so many people are, we're going to be overpopulated and, you know, we're going to die. And I'm like, well, one thing, let's talk about on the medical side, you know, sperm count is down 50% in the last 50 years. Testosterone is down 50% in the last 50 years. Miscarriages are up 50% in the last 50 years. In the United States, one out of every 25-year-old boy being born right now will be autistic in his lifetime. One out of 25. So, you know, then you take out, they're not going to reproduce. Then you're looking at a recent survey. I saw 18 to 24-year-olds, and 40% of them identify as, like, gender neutral fluid, you know, bi, trans, whatever.
The androgyny is now becoming a thing too.
And a high percentage of them aren't going to reproduce. No. And so, you know, we are at this point of it. We're going to actually have underpopulation in the next 100 years. It's going to be interesting.
If we make it 100 years, because now throw AI in the mix too. And now there'll be no purposes for many people. And so you'll see the 1% gap between the 99% will become astronomical. We'll have trillionaires, and then we'll have people who have no jobs because AI does it. You know, truck drivers, customer service people, you name it, there's going to be almost no need. Amazon workers will go out the window. Anything that's going to be AI generated.
And that's where you and your people and what you're doing every day, you know, in there's a book, and I'm in a men's group, we're going through, it's called Manhood. And, you know, that's what we're talking about, right? And it's like, hey, we have to have a mission. We have to have something that we get up for every single day. And, you know, having four boys, I'm fortunate enough that I've got, you know, people that I can imprint that into, and they all know how to work. They know how to get up and bust their butt and do what they need to each day. But unfortunately, there's a lot of guys in, and I'm just talking about our country in the United States, that do not have that goal, do not have that drive, do not have that mission. And unfortunately, you know, that spills all the way across the republic that we have here.
Yeah. And in order for there to be a chance for our guys, our brothers and our sons, in order for there to be a chance, there's nobody coming to save you. The opportunities you're looking for are up to us to create. They're all over the place. There's opportunities to do things, but we're waiting for these. There's so many things we can get into on this, where you look into, here's a real problem. I'm going to call it right now, just so you guys can hear, like, this is maybe 5 to 10 years ahead of where it became a real issue. Sect bots is going to be a problem. That's going to be a legit issue. There will be no reason to procreate. As soon as you can take, like, the Google voice system which sounds like it sounds so human, you can't tell the difference. And you put that AI system to know your algorithms, like what your favorite things are. We could talk about your favorite topics for hours. And then you put that into a robot that looks, is whatever your favorite thing is, as perfect as you want, whatever your preference, you can,
whatever your hot is,
no matter what it is, you can make it exactly your thing, whatever your fetish or your things you like, it's perfect. And then you take an account. We already have robots that do housework and stuff. You make that thing able to do dishes and clean up and take care of shit around the house. What's a better mate?
They're not going to talk back.
No arguments, sex anytime you want, in any way you want. You can even have three of them and just take turns down and they don't argue. No issues happen. And so that's going to be a fucking problem, because right now, 30% of the boys, like you said, aren't even playing.
Yep.
They're not even playing. Well, if they can have love but never have to have any of the rejection or fears or intimacy problems there's nothing, nothing can be wrong.
Right.
That'll be an issue. That'll be a legit issue. And it's going to be tough for the ladies too, because then they're going to have to fend for themselves, which creates overwhelm, and they fall into high levels of stress, which maybe turn into the male sex bots, turns into a legit thing. People will have, I am in love with my robot. That will be a thing. And they think it's not going to be a fucking thing. Oh, you're going to have legit competition.
Yeah. Well, and and why is that? It's what they didn't get from their dad. It's what they, grieving from all these losses they've had and never had. And
well, they never knew how to deal with. And since they don't have to, they won't. We're in the good times, and the good times create weak people. And that's what's happening. We don't have any real, you don't have to fight for food. We don't have to want for anything. And when there's no real issue, we create them. And so the real issue will be like, I just don't like who you voted for, or I don't like your opinion. And you're like, well, those aren't real issues. Those are just disagreements. And you're like, no, it's they should fucking die. And you're like, wow, you went into you should kill someone for disagreeing, because that's the hardest part of your day. You've never had to starve. You've never had to fight or grow anything. You've never had to build anything. Everything's already built. And, a lot of people whose jobs are to do caretaking, it's like one button now. Did you do laundry? Yeah, I went, that's it. That's all. I left it alone. And then I moved it and pushed a button. And that used to be by the river scrubbing and then hang it up on strings. Now it's a different thing. It doesn't matter,
Yep.
And so we're in an interesting time right now. We're going to watch what's going on with our people. But there's a good possibility that what you and I are doing is in the last hurrah for humans. Because they'll start doing an integration and really interesting things soon that make us go, remember when we used to be people?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's easy. We were just saying before this, when we were growing up, there was no internet. There was nothing else out there. And just see what's changed. And I'm sure in the next, 30, 40 years, it's going to be a similar seismic shift.
It's going to get weird sooner than that. It's already getting weird. We got a lot of work ahead of us to try to help at least the people who are going to be the ones who carry humanity forward. It's going to come from those who understand how to take care of themselves in the way that you teach, and the people who have purpose in the ways that we teach outside of this. And so if you're going, I believe that what you're doing and what I do are they simpatico. They fit right together. This is a good match. And I think this is one of those things for people who listen to these kinds of things. Plug in with Dr. Ben. Plug in with what we do. Plug in to every avenue of finding authenticity, health, strength, purpose. Find you and your longevity. And it gives you a fighting fucking chance to lead your pack, be healthy with your family, and be able to even have a family.
Yeah.
Because in the future, it's going to be a rare thing to have a family.
Absolutely.
And so value it while we have it, and let's make each other live as long as we can.
Yeah. Amen.
Right on. Dr. Ben, how can people get in touch with you if they want to work with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Our office, it's F8, and the letter F, number 8, Well Centers, f8wellcenters.com. I'm on TikTok. We got a bunch of followers on there, a bunch of videos, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. We're all over on there. And, if you want a CGM, you can grab those, in the links in the bio on any of those outlets as well. And then if anybody truly wants to take that next step in your health is more than just, hey, I need to eat a little bit better, but there's more stuff going on, then that's what we're here for as well. So reach out. Would love to help each and every one of you, really, really get to that next level of whether that's manhood or of just overall function in this world.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. We'll have the links in the bio for you. Dr. Ben, thank you so much for hanging with us today.
Bet, Rick. Thank you.
Click on the button and you can become the hero in your own story. It's time to start making the choices to change. And the evolution that you're going to do begins with choosing the next step. This is the way. And together, we're always stronger.